just so you understand. You know, I mean, is it worth it? Yes, it was very much worth it for me. I'm very glad. Some people, it ruins their lives, though. Okay? For godly people, I want to encourage them to marry. I mean, it's been very rewarding for me. But I said, don't be shocked when trouble and pain come on you. Because in relationship, you can't have growth without some sort of pain. Because people are immature. They're young. They don't know what they're doing. You know, they get married and it's like they hardly know themselves. How do they get to know another person? How do they feel for another person? What they really want? What they really need? My wife would always get sort of a little perturbed with me declaring all the pain in marriage. So I always declare also the great joy. I mean, great joy. I mean, apart from the kids, even. I mean, I just mean in the sense, and I wasn't even thinking of that. I was just thinking of just the relationship. For me, it's been nothing but a gain. You know, and then bless the children, there's a lot of joy in that. But I tell you what, there's trouble. There's trouble in marriage. There's things, you know, your faults come out, her faults come out, you know. These things you have to work through. There's all kinds of, I'm not going to give a marriage seminar, but there's a lot to it, you know. It's not just happily ever after. I don't know, for some people, whatever. You know, they have their, on the radio, there's, you know, there'll be ads for matchmaker services and how they, I found my soulmate. I always hate that soulmate. I just don't like terms like that. It's not scriptural, and it's just sort of like, makes me feel yucky. Because my soul isn't married to my wife. My body is married. I need my flesh mate, not my soul mate. My soul is married to God, you know. My wife's soul is married to God, too, and that we're all together. You know, but in the spirit, she's my brother. I guess, and that's the sense of like, that those, I like verses 29. These are awesome, you know. The time is short. It's shortened, actually. It remains that both they that have wives be as though they had none. When the time comes, when the trouble comes, the end of our lives, the end of the world, whatever. I know Paul probably had that in mind. You know, the end times. It's like the troubles that are now, and we're going to have troubles. Right now, it's kind of, oh, they got the economics. I don't call that trouble. Trouble for me is when persecution arises for the gospel's sake. Like, oh, the banks are failing. Oh, boy, who cares? Oh, I've got financial troubles. Oh, you bet. I don't even count that. To me, that's, oh yeah, okay, financial troubles, whatever. I trust God. He's already shown me a way out. Thank God. Thank God for good brothers. Brothers, I meant brothers. For a good brother. But again, you know, so if you have a wife, troublesome time, you know, that's the thing, is like in this calling, there may be a time when I'm called, things change. I have a wife, right? I'm called having a wife. I should have a wife, right? Well, now God moves on. And now I got to be like I didn't have a wife. You think about Peter, he had to leave his wife and family. Yeah. We forsook all to follow you. Because of the time. Because of the time he lived in. And that can come about. You know, Paul, get you up from your house and go. Go speak to the people in such and such a city. Turn their waters. You know, stretch forth your hand over their waters and turn it to gall. Gall, I don't know what I'm talking about. You know, turn it to blood. Turn it to bitterness. I don't even mean in a figurative sense. Yeah. Turn their waters to blood. And speak to them. Do it in their sight. They're having a big, you know, and where's your family? Oh, they just left them at home. Can happen. They that weep as though they wept not, and they that rejoice as though they rejoice not. The thing, you know, you're called a certain way, times are changing, you know? Lay aside your sadness and do the Lord's work. Lay aside your joy to do God's will. We have to sometimes lay aside the things of our lives, our passions, our joys, our sadnesses, to do the will of God. They that buy, so, you know, you're buying stuff. We live in that consumeristic society. We all buy and possess, and, you know, he's saying, possessed is interesting. Kateko means to hold fast. It's the same word used saying, he who now restrains, or he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. He who holds fast. Just for reference, there's no particular reason I'm referencing, and just because the word's the same. Just thought I'd remind you of that. But then again, those that buy, let's say you have possessions. I have possessions. I've bought stuff. I mean, I got a lot of good stuff. I've like all these educational DVDs. I've got books, right? I've got a computer here. It's necessary for the ministry I'm currently in. You know, though I long after a ministry where I don't need any of this stuff. You know, because I long for a ministry where the work we're doing is so where they want to televise it, you know? We don't have to go looking for, we don't have to buy TV time because their news crews are there. That's what I look for. And this is, as far as I'm concerned, this ministry is going to lead into that. I was looking back, like, oh, what do I got? Got a phone. I see a lot of books, a printer, all that stuff. I got a lot of stacks of bills, but thankfully I don't possess those. I have a lawnmower. I've got a rototiller. I've got a car, 2 or 3 or 4 or 5, all of it with over 150,000 miles on it, and most of which do not currently operate. But I still own the title on them, and I like to be an owner of the. I hope to fix them someday, because I can't afford to pay someone else to. But you know what? Someday I'm going to have to be not holding. Here's the thing. Buy, I mean, come into ownership.